As I was preparing for this morning's message, I was coming across more and more churches that have chosen, perhaps more wisely than I, to utilize this Christmas Eve morning service as a time to sing. And so not so much a message, but to sing the Christmas hymns and to join in our scripture passage, Mary's song of praising God. And after listening to the choir sing and Donna and Greg playing, I think I might have chose wrong. I should have had you all just play for the next 20 minutes because that was beautiful. Everything this morning, the music's been great. But I need a sermon this morning. And so my hope is that you're bringing your A game this morning. I'm a little sleepy. The snow's outside, but I'm coming with the expectation that God's got a word for us this morning, and it's going to come to us through Luke chapter 1, verses 44 through 55. And so, with that expectation, we come to the passage together. It begins as follows. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, this is Elizabeth, Mary's relative, talking, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he had promised our ancestors. Amen. Let us pray. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Somewhere around 400 years passed between the book of Malachi and the birth of Jesus. 400 years between the Old and New Testaments. 400 years. That's a long time to go without a word from the Lord. 400 years is a long time to wait for a king. Could it be that God had forgotten? Do you ever feel that way? Forgotten by God? I wonder if Mary did. By most accounts, she was a young woman, a girl by modern standards, probably somewhere around 15 years old or so. She wasn't a princess, she wasn't a queen, she was just Mary. And to be sure, people like Mary are easily forgotten about. She was just a normal girl from a normal town. In fact, in the Gospel of John, it's even said of Nazareth, can anything good come from there? It's a bit of literary irony because the Savior of the world called Nazareth his hometown. But the point remains, people like Mary in towns like Nazareth are not particularly special. But perhaps that's the point. If God could choose someone like Mary to bring Jesus to the world, then perhaps God could also choose someone like me, even someone like you. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I assume this text is a relatively familiar one to you. Songs are sung about it and verses are quoted from it. Mary's response to God's activity in her life is most famously known as the Magnificat. It's her song that magnifies the Lord because of what the Lord has done for her, for what God was doing in her, and for what God was preparing to do through her. It's a song that puts a magnifying glass on who God is and what God is about. It's the God who transforms the normal into the exceptional, the God who loves us exactly the way we are, and yet loves us way too much to let us stay that way. Good. It's been a while since I've said that. Mary's song is a curious one, though, isn't it? She glorifies the Lord for being mindful of her, and then she goes into this extended soliloquy about God scattering the proud while lifting up the humble, filling the hungry and sending the rich away empty, remembering mercy from generation to generation. It's a beautiful, even perhaps convicting song, poem, magnifying who God is and what God is about. But I wonder, as we listen to her words, who it is that you think Mary is talking about. About whom is she talking? Sam Wells has an interesting take. He says that in the Old Testament, there was no notion of holy poverty. Wealth and possessions were a blessing and power a sign of God's favor. So maybe Mary is talking about herself. Maybe this is what Mary was saying. I am the hungry one. And God has literally filled me up with a baby who's growing in my womb. And all the powerful ones who thought God was theirs to prescribe and control are out of luck. Or maybe Mary was talking about God's people, Israel. Maybe she was saying that Israel is the lowly, Israel is the hungry. The other nations are the powerful and the rich. And in the Savior Jesus, God is turning the tables and restoring the fortunes of Zion. Or maybe, just maybe, Mary is showing us the truth about God. Mary's song really is the story of God. God is the mighty. God is the powerful. God is the one who in Jesus comes down from his throne and becomes lowly for us, filling the hungry with good things, and then is himself lifted up on the cross, and then again in resurrection, and finally once more in his ascension to the right hand of God the Father. But I wonder if Mary isn't also talking about us. If God remembers people like Mary, then perhaps God also remembers people like you and me. If God can lift her up, then perhaps my situation isn't beyond God's reach either. If she wasn't forgotten about, then there's hope I might not be as well. God has not forgotten. God remembers. And it's a wonderful thing to be remembered. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. God remembers. But the English language is a curious thing. It's wonderful to be remembered, but it's something quite entirely different to be remembered. to be remembered, to be taken apart and put back together again in new ways. Remembering is an interesting word that can have two very different implications. To have God remember you and then to have God remember you is something different. There is, though, a bit of both going on here in Mary's song. There is some remembering taking place in her Magnificat as well. She's talking about a God who wasn't born to a princess or queen, but rather to a humble servant named Mary. She's talking about a God who brings down rulers from their thrones and lifts up the humble, the God who scatters the proud and yet helps the servants, the God who fills the hungry with good things and sends the rich away empty. It's the same God who is not born in a palace, but in a manger, because there was no room for God to be born at the inn. This is who the God revealed to the world in Jesus Christ is. The God who remembers our ways of thinking about who and what matters. This is the God who changes our expectations so that our lives might be changed as well. And so perhaps Mary's song is indeed about us and our need to be remembered. It's the song that reassures us that the good news of Jesus relieves the proud and the powerful of our swelled heads. That those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with good things. And that the good news of Jesus Christ sends the rich away empty so that we might have room in us for more than money can buy. It's as though Mary's song is saying, God is transforming my life the way pregnancy is transforming my body, making it full of promise and expectation and fertility and joy. Are you allowing God's divinity to transform your humanity? Are you allowing Christmas to remember you? No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Christ does indeed still enter in, and we are still indeed called to prepare him room. So what will that look like for you these next 24 hours? To be sure, these next 24 hours will be filled with a lot. Be that friends and family, be that gifts and presents, even delicious foods, but it might also be filled with your thoughts, your grief, and your bitterness. It can be all too tempting and far too easy to move past Christ so that we can more quickly get to or through Christmas these next 24 hours. So how might you remember how you celebrate Christmas so that you and yours can remember the one about whom this season is all about? God hasn't forgotten us. Is it possible, though, that we have forgotten about God? Merry Christmas. The Lord is come. How will you receive the King? Amen. from this place. We do hope to see you later this afternoon or evening for the Christmas Eve services. Double dose, what a gift that would be. But may you in the next 24 hours remember your time in order that you might make room for Jesus. Remember him, that you might experience the joy he has to offer you and the world. Merry Christmas.